come to God's word this morning, you know, some people experience heaven on earth and they call it marriage. Some people experience hell on earth and they call it marriage. You know, how can that be? And it's like this. Whenever you get a new tool or a gadget or an appliance, before you start using it and you can get optimum and you make optimum use of it, there's one thing you need to do. What is that? Read the instructions, the manual. Now, usually men have problems with this. You know, we say, forget the instructions, let's just get on with it. And then finally we try to say, okay, you know, how is this possible? And we say, let's just look at the instructions. And so the same thing when it comes to marriage. Okay, if we want a successful, a happy marriage, what are the instructions for marriage? Where do we find them? And really, the right place to look for instructions is you go to the person who's made the gadget, isn't it? And the same thing when it comes to marriage. Where do we find the instructions? We find them in God's word, which is the Bible. He's the one who's created man. He's created woman. He's the one who's made marriage. So obviously the right place to look for it would be in the Bible. And marriage is important in the Bible. Do you know how important? It begins, the book of Genesis begins in chapter 2 with a marriage, Adam and Eve. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, ends with a marriage. Yeah, the marriage of the Lamb to His bride, the church. So the Bible begins with a marriage, ends with a marriage. And in between, there are different marriages, you know. There are many married people here. We prayed for the singles this morning. And we, in faith, we believe many marriages will take place this year. So right from the beginning of creation to the end of time, marriage is important to God. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to share the 8 M's of marriage. The 8 M's of marriage from Genesis. Let's look at the first one. Right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how God created everything. The first M is marvelous creation. Marvelous creation. In Genesis 1, it says, and the word of God was hovering over the waters. And it says, and God said. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 2. It says, the surface of the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. So we see that in Genesis chapter 1, God created everything by speaking. Okay, look at verse 6. And God said, okay, verse 9, and God said. So over and over and over again, God creates the world with His word by just speaking. And what He does is He comments on His creation. 6 times in Genesis chapter 1, God uses the word, it is good. It is good. In verse 9, it says that God, and God said, He created the water and the ground, and God said that it was good. In verse 11, when He creates the vegetation, He saw everything, He created everything He saw, He said, it was good. Okay, so 6 times, God creates this beautiful earth we live on. He's so powerful that He just has to speak things into, and things come into being. And He looks at what He's created and He says, it is good. That's the first M. The second M is what God does is He then creates a man. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay? So it tells us that God created His marvelous creation and then He created human beings. He created human beings differently from animals. Animals were created, He just spoke the word, but with man, He fashioned him with His hands. Took the dust from the ground, fashioned him, and breathed His life into him. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it talks about how he created. He says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And what the Bible tells us is that God created this creation, the birds, the fish in the sea, the animals, the vegetation, and that was one thing. And then he created man. By man, I mean human beings, man and woman. And he says, only they are created in God's image. There is a huge difference in value between an ant and a human being, between a dog and a human being. Do we see that? That difference is because only man is created in the image of God. All right, let's move on. So when he created the world and he created man, then he did something else. He gave the third M, which is he gave man his mission. In Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So he had a marvelous creation, man in God's image, and then he gave him a job to do, his mission. He says, I'm placing you in this Garden of Eden, and you are supposed to take care of it. All right? So work is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And God gave man something to do. And the Bible speaks about and warns us against being idle. Okay, it says, do not be idle. It says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. And so it's so important that we must be productive with our lives. Okay, so let's go on. So he gave him a mission to do. Now, and part of that mission was this. You know, he says, I want you to look after the animals, look after the birds, look after all these things. And Adam was doing that. But you know what happened? This is what happened. God found that something was missing. Although there were beautiful monkeys and peacocks and, giraffes. And you've seen the animals. They're so beautiful. Beautiful, but there was something missing. And what Adam did is, we don't have time to go through it, but he named all the animals. You know, it says in verse 19, now the Lord God had formed out of all the beasts of the... Okay, go on. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and so forth. So Adam was familiar with all the animals and the birds and everything else. But you know what happens? The fourth M, something is missing. In verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. The fourth M is missing. Something was missing from man's life. The monkey could not fulfill everything that he wanted. Okay, companionship. The giraffe, fish, you know. And there was something missing. And the first time, in the midst of this beautiful creation, God says, it is not good. Turn to your neighbor and says, it is not good. It's not good. He says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And that's what it says. So he says, you know what? Creation is beautiful, but they're not compatible fully with man. Isn't that great, men? Isn't that wonderful that God did that? Yes. Okay. So, what did he do? The fifth M. The fifth M is God made a miss. miss. M-I-S-S. This is what he did. In Genesis 5:21, this is what God did. It says, but no suitable, at the end of verse 20, he says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. All right? That, my dear friends, is the first anesthesia. Adam fell into a deep sleep. He didn't know what was happening. And the first surgery took place. He opened up his side, took out a rib, And then he did the first DNA replication. He made a woman, slightly different from Adam, completely opposite actually. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Now remember, this man had only seen giraffes and monkeys, and suddenly he sees this woman, and he says, wow. All right? And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And so, God brings this mist to the man, and he creates the next, number six, is marriage. Now, think about it. Marriage is not just a good thing. It is a God thing, all right? It's not something that some, you know, man a few thousand years ago decided to do and said it's a good idea to get married, to have marriage. No, it is a God thing. So we learn much from this, that it's not, God didn't make another man, he made another woman. As somebody said, it's not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. So today, these things that are rooted in the Bible are being challenged across the world. But we need to say, no, this is God's word and this is God's plan. Okay, you may love your dog, but you can't get married to your dog. It's true. Listen, you know that. People have tried it. One man married his car. Another man married a tree. Yeah, they do that. There's all kinds of stuff. But we need to say that those things are deviations from the Creator's plan for us. Okay, let's go on. So God created marriage. And in the following verses, 24 and 25, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So he's talking about marriage there. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Talking about oneness, talking about intimacy. All right. The seventh M about marriage, very quickly, is this. Marriage is a mystery. I know, most men are saying, I'm still trying to figure things out. You know, it is a mystery. Now, what is mysterious about marriage is this. You see, it's not just about a man and a woman. It's not just about Austin and Joe. Okay, but it's more than that. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, where God gives instructions to husbands and wives, part of the instructions on a happy and a successful marriage. Okay, and the instructions begin right in verse 22, but if you look at verse 31, he says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Yeah, that same command in Genesis is repeated in the Gospels. It's repeated here again. It's important. God said it. And then he says, verse 32, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Okay? So somewhere what God is saying is that marriage between a husband and a wife is a picture of a marriage between God and his chosen people. All right? So that marriage represents the final marriage that will take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where God will be with his people and will live with them forever. Okay. And some of the instructions are also here in verse 33. It says, however, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, so here are some instructions on marriage. Husbands, we are commanded to love our wives. Okay, how? It tells us earlier, just as Jesus loved the church by laying down his life for her. Now, this instruction is so counter-cultural. Okay, in our culture, we get married and the husband says, now I've got an unpaid servant. Yeah, it's true. You know, husbands will sit, get me my water, get me my tea, warm my food, do all that. I want to tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, there's a place, but it's like this. You know, it says there, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, and so forth and so on. Okay? It's talking about husbands laying down their lives for their wives. I mean, it's so absurd, isn't it? You have a husband and wife, both are working, all right? In today's world, you have husbands and wives working. They come back from work, and it's the wife who has to cook and to clean and do everything. Is that right? No, absolutely. You know, and that's what it says, listen. No, the responsibility should be shared equally. Okay, so that's what the Bible is clear about. And then what does the Bible say? It says, the wives submit to your husbands, and wives are called to respect their husbands. Okay, let's go on. So marriage is not just a good thing, it's a God thing, but it's also a sacred thing. It's a picture of Christ and the church. Now let's look at number 8, and we look at the ingredients. You know, if we want to cook something, let's say you want to make a chicken curry. You need two things. You need the ingredients and you need the steps to follow, right? You can't get very far without a chicken. So you need the ingredients. So in a marriage, the ingredients are a man and a woman, all right? The right ingredients. And then there is the method. And we'll look at that in detail here. It's so amazing that at the beginning of creation, God spelt it out. And this is what he says. Look at verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. So there are four ingredients that we see in the next two verses, okay? And verse 25 says, the man and his wife are both naked and they felt no shame. So what are the four steps, not ingredients? The ingredients are the man and the woman, the steps. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. So there's something called leaving. Very important. Now, who's leaving? He says the man is leaving the father and mother. The wife also leaves her parents, and together it says there, and be united to his wife. Now, you know, parents can get very emotional about this, especially parents of the son. Isn't that? The mother-in-law gets so attached to her son that I've heard horror stories, which I won't tell right now. But there's a time to let go of your son who may have lived with you 20, 30, 40, 50 years. He's getting married. But let go of him now, and he's going to be united to his wife. Right? And this is it. All these years, he loved you, he cared for you, he served you. Wonderful. Great. But now, God's word says he has to leave you and be united to his wife. And you've got to let him go to do that. And that leaving would involve living separately as well. You know, we found that when you live with your in-laws, we just have to look at the statistics in India. Yeah? What are the dowry debts? What are the so many people leave? I mean, women leave or commit suicide because of such harassment by the in-laws. And it's hell. You know, I know some people who are living away from their in-laws, and we've asked them, do you want to go back? They say, no. If I go back there, I'm just a servant. I've got to serve the whole family and do all that. Anyway, so that leaving is important because that husband and wife form a new entity. A new unit. And it's like this. You know, we were talking about pregnancies. Imagine we had Jennifer who just delivered, Newton who's going to deliver. You know, you have your mother, women, you're like carrying that baby for 9 months. You're very close to that baby. It's very precious. But there comes a time, and it's a joyful time and a painful time when you're going to deliver. Okay, there's pain, but there's joy at the same time that this new life has come out. All right? And then you know what the doctors do? Now, for 9 months, that baby has been in your womb. How is that baby being fed? Any guesses? Through the umbilical cord, absolutely. There is a cord that connects the baby to the mother. And for 9 months, that baby is nourished through that. And there comes that happy day when the delivery takes place. Have you ever seen a baby being carried with the umbilical cord connected to the mother? Have you? No, it's not natural. No, once that baby comes out, it's now individual. It's now separate. It needs to be separated from his mother, identity of its own. And so what the doctors do is they tie a knot, isn't it? And they cut the cord, all right? They tie the knot and cut the cord. And when they do that, that baby is now a separate unit, a separate individual. 9 months it was in the baby. Now, can you imagine the horror if the mother says, no, please don't cut that cord. I just want to have that baby with me. I love it so much. It's not natural. It's not right. And the same thing with marriage. Okay? When a couple tie the knot, as we say in marriage, the second thing that needs to be done is you've got to cut the cord. That means that Austin and Joe have now formed a new family. That's what God says. They are separate from Austin's family, separate from Joe's family. They will love them. They will keep contact with them, have them over, visit them. All that is there, but they are separate. And so all those who are married, all those who are planning to get married, keep this in mind. This is how it is. And marriages get messed up because what happens is you have these two people here who are married, and then you have all the in-laws remote controlling everything that happens, and there is chaos. Okay? So there's a leaving that needs to happen, and there's a being united or a cleaving that takes place. It says, and they will be united and be united to his wife. What does that mean? Okay? We formed little groups here. That group lasted for 7 minutes. That's it. And then it's gone out. Okay? But this united, it's talking about till death do us part. Okay? Have you ever super glued something? Anybody use super glue? Yeah? Okay, super glue is very, very dangerous stuff. One drop of it can stick something so hard, okay? And you've got to be very careful with it. But when something is super glued, it sticks together. Very difficult. Now, if you try to pull it apart, you know what will happen? Both the things that were stuck together will get damaged. And that's the kind of unity it is talking about here, okay? And Jesus says this. He says this. He says, they are no longer two, but one. So I says, I can see two. There's Austin and there's Joe. Okay? Can you see two? Yeah, they are two people. But God says they are not two, but they are one. Okay, there is such a unity that comes upon marriage that they are one. Okay, so Austin says, you know, and Joe says, to be happy, it's not that I look after my needs, but I say, how can I make her happy? She says, how can I make him happy? Okay, that's a secret to marriage. And then they work together. It's not just what I think, but what can we do together? There's a unity. They're one. They're looking out for one another. Okay, it's not my money and his money. It's our money. All right, it's our house. Everything is jointly owned, jointly shared, and so forth. All right. So there is that kind of unity that God is talking about. And they will become one flesh. And then, of course, they're talking about the same thing I spoke earlier. They are one flesh. Again, driving home this thing of oneness. Okay. Jesus also spoke about it several times. So they are no longer two, but one. And we've got to be very careful of people trying to bring division into a husband and wife. And this often happens with in-laws coming in. Okay? I just want to share this. It's this. You know, sometimes the husband's mother may insult, mistreat the wife. What should the husband do? Okay? Very simple. The husband needs to stand up for his wife. Absolutely. Because you're all one flesh. And to tell his mother, stop. Don't speak to my wife that way, and so forth. Very clear. Lovingly, you love your mother. There's no doubt about that. But now, this is my wife. It's true. She's only come 3 days ago into the family, but we are now one. Okay? The same thing when they come to your house. All right? You know, lots of fights happen in the kitchen over food and everything else. And I'll give you an example. There was a family in another previous church we were in India, in Bombay. And they were living with the in-law, with the mother-in-law. And it was a mess. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law fighting. It was not going well. So they said, okay, we're leaving. And so they went and they lived on their own. And the mother-in-law was on her own and these people were on their own. Finally, the mother-in-law was older after a few years and she needed somebody she needed care and help. And so they decided to come in. But they said, listen, we're coming in to your house, but it's this. You are living with us, all right? My wife is the queen of the kitchen. That's a condition. This is our house. You're welcome to stay with us and stay. And that is where peace happens. All right, let's move on. So remember, one flesh, oneness, husband and wife. And the last one is intimacy. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. What is that talking about? That's talking about a mental oneness. It's talking about a physical oneness. It's talking about an emotional oneness. And that is God's plan for marriage. All right? Where we are sharing everything. We are talking with one another. You know, and this is what it is. Physical oneness is very important to marriage. Okay, it's not an optional. It's not something that the devil thought of. It's God who has created sex in marriage. That is what it's talking about there. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing within marriage. Okay? So here is the recipe for a happy, successful marriage. If we look at these 8 M's, these methods, your marriage will be blessed. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that you created marriage, Lord. It's not man's idea. Lord, that when you see a married couple, it brings glory to you because it represents you and your church. Lord, I pray for every marriage represented here, Lord. I just pray your great blessing upon every marriage. May I just ask all those who are married, would you like to stand up? If you are married, would you stand up? We want to pray God's blessing upon you. Lord, we thank you for each of these people who are standing up, Lord. Thank you. Lord, marriage is a God thing. It's not just a good thing. Lord, I pray your favor and blessing upon these marriages, that there would be living, there would be unity, there would be oneness, there would be favor, intimacy. Lord, you would bless all these marriages, Lord. Lord, we pray for your release of children, blessing upon the family. Release, Lord. Bless the fruit of the womb. Lord, we pray for provision, for financial provision. We pray for love. We pray for joy. We pray for good relationships with in-laws, Lord. Lord, we pray for right authority in the family. We pray husbands would love their wives. Wives would submit and respect their husbands. Children would obey their parents. We just pray blessed marriages, Lord. Would you like to sit down? I'd like all the singles to stand up. Those who are saying, one day I hope to get married. Stand up, yeah. Lord, we pray for all the singles here, Lord. One day they will get married. Lord, we pray that you would help them to find right partners, godly partners, Lord. Lord, till that day, I pray that you would keep them. Lord, I pray you would show them when the right person comes along that this is the right person. Lord, we pray blessing upon their marriages as well, Lord. They would have fantastic, joy-filled, God-filled marriages, Lord. Lord, we ask that. We ask that. I pray right now, as they are waiting to get married, you would prepare them to be the partner they are meant to be, Lord. Would you help them in that stage, Lord? Lord, we pray blessing. We want to see marriages released at Word of Grace this year, Lord. We declare, we release 12 marriages, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. Amen. Good. Who's getting married next month? You're going to see something happen. You're going to pray. Okay, so remember, people, we are praying and fasting every month. All right? Now, the moment I say the fasting word, no, research is done that somewhere our mind goes blank. Okay? It goes as if it goes, I don't know the speed of sound, but it goes in through one ear and out the other. And it just goes, okay? Now, fasting. You heard Esther's testimony this morning. Okay? If you want to see a breakthrough in any situation in your life, why? I don't know. All I know is this book is the book of life. As you do it, what it says, you will see results. Okay? I don't have a scientific explanation. I have a God explanation. That's it. But when you start fasting and you start praying, somehow it touches the heart of God. That's what we've seen over and over again. So I would encourage people, you know, fast once a week. And then once a month, we do a 3-day fast. Keep doing that. And we're going to see amazing, amazing breakthroughs.